Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
What are your children learning in school on sex education? Is it pornographic or is it what God's Word says? My guest today is Audrey Werder, and she is an international speaker, advocate, and founder and president of the Matthew 18 Group and Dean of Life Issues at Masters International University of Divinity. And she's the author of 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. And she's a Christian wife and mother and grandmother, and she's also a nurse. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Wait till you hear what your kids or grandchildren might be learning, even in the Christian schools. Audrey, welcome.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you for having me on again. It's an honor.
The Matthew 18 Project. First, let's start about that. What is that all about, and how did you start?
Well, the Matthew 18 Group is based on Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. If your brother sins, you go to them. If they don't listen, you go with someone else. If that doesn't work, you go to the church. And my journey began back in the 1990s. I had been a sex educator in the schools and in the churches as well, I would add, because some of the Sunday school classes were asking for me to come in and talk to the kids about sex. And at the time when I was teaching sex education, we had no children. Then we were blessed with our first child, and I still wanted to work for the health department where I was a sex educator out of. And the only part-time job available was working in the STD, which is sexually transmitted disease, HIV clinic. My husband was working for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as a family life pastor at the time. So we had decided I would work part-time, so I worked in the STD HIV clinic. And it was as if the Lord said, I want you to see the fruit of your labor. And I was seeing things getting progressively worse in the 1990s. Children seemed to be sexually active at earlier and earlier ages. The amount of date rape was exploding in the 1990s, which correlates, by the way, with that was when the internet, pornography then began to be on the internet. So it wasn't just going to the drugstore to get your porn magazine or going,
right.
Yes, or going to the video store. So all of these things were happening. And at that time when I started to look into sex ed, because they had told us as sex educators, we would decrease the pregnancy and the STD rates for children. We would help parents because parents are so uncomfortable talking to the children about sex. But I was seeing the opposite happen, so that's where I started the research. And at the time, someone asked me to look into the very first Christian sex ed program, which was developed in the 1960s, and it was called the Learning About Sex Series, which was put out by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In the 60s, they put that together.
Yes. Yes, it was published in 67. It was a series, so there was books for church workers because this was brand new. We never taught sex ed in the schools up to that point. So there was a book for the church workers. There was a book for parents and then different grade levels. And actually, when I was in a Lutheran school in 1971 in third grade, I remember receiving that book called I Wonder, I Wonder. And what was interesting is I had never seen a naked man before, but, you know, in this book, they had it was a kind of a character figure, stick figure sort of, but it showed the male genitalia very clearly. So I remember hiding the book in my desk the furthest away because I, as a child, was uncomfortable with that information. And I've since learned what sex information does to children, and I now realize I was actually trying to protect my own moral innocence. So as I started to do the deep dive into where did sex ed come from, who developed it, and what was the intent, including the Lutheran sex ed program, I found a man by the name of Alfred Kinsey, who was the father of the sexual revolution. He advocated for children to have sex education because he knew that was grooming. In order for children, he believed children should be sexual from birth. He believed there was nothing wrong with adults having sex with infants. He believed in incest, bestiality. Everything you see today is a product of his teachings. And so I looked into the Lutheran program, and in the parent book, I found Alfred Kinsey being quoted. And I thought, wow, this is huge. So in the late 1990s, early 2000s, I actually started to approach the Lutheran Church, the leaders at the state, actually local, state, and national level. I also was approaching the publisher, the Lutheran Publishing Company, Concordia Publishing House, to share my findings and my concerns and ask them to consider developing a biblical purity program, not a Christian sex ed program, because that's different.
Right.
Biblical purity is just God's word and God's word alone. And, you know, when we look in scripture, a little leaven corrupts the whole loaf. So it's interesting through the years when I've been doing interviews with different people, meeting different leaders across the world, those that have been exposed as children to the learning about sex theories, some of them have shared some pretty traumatic memories that they had. So,
well, I remember that. I remember in fourth grade,
yes,
our teacher played some videos and things. And so I remember,
yes,
that little,
yes,
video time about,
yes,
that. And I think it was for 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. We had different videos on that, and thank goodness I'm blind, I couldn't see the pictures. I'm really happy about that.
You were spared.
So what about the other Christian schools, the Catholics and different denominational schools?
What has been interesting is actually the learning about sex theories really put Concordia Publishing on the map, because they were known primarily in the Lutheran Church,
yes,
but then other churches, other denominations started using their program. And then you had other Christians that started to develop Christian sex ed programs, but they would, for example, there's one called God's Design on Sex. And throughout the, well, actually the author gives credit to the Learning About Sex Theories being an excellent forerunner to the program that he developed. So it's hard, you know, we are born into this. We were born, if I'm in my 60s, we were born into the sexual revolution in the 1960s, so we know no different. But if you look at an America 80 years ago, there was not sex education in the schools. We protected children's moral innocence. Pornography wasn't legal. Even having sex outside of marriage wasn't legal. And when I look at sex ed back when we were kids, it was all around the act and the genitals. When you look at sex ed today, it is promoting the LGBTQ lifestyle. It is bestiality, incest. It's the whole gamut. So we have to go back. I always say, let's not be part of the problem, but be part of the solution. So sex education, which I said came from Alfred Kinsey, the very first organization, which is also in the Learning About Sex series for the church worker. If they want more information, they were referred to an organization called CECUS, which is the, yeah, Sex Information Education Council of the United States. That was launched at the Kinsey Institute in 1964. Hugh Hefner gave the seed money for CECUS.
Hugh Hefner? For CECUS?
Yes, Hugh Hefner, oh. Yes. And Mary Calderon was one of the first presidents of CECUS. So Waldor Pomeroy was also a part of CECUS. So you have Planned Parenthood, you have Playboy, you have the ACLU, you have UNESCO, which is the educational arm of the UN. You've got the National Education Association. They're all the foundations, the WHO, the National Institute of American Medical Association, even back then. We're surprised today that they're promoting or endorsing transgender medicine. Back in the 60s, they were promoting and endorsing sex education.
So it's really just escalated because,
yes,
of the blow-up of the whole industry because,
yes,
of what has been taught and it seems to be normal in these days and times. So we're looking at parents right now, and they're saying, mm-hmm, ooh, are my kids learning that? How can I respond in a biblical manner when my kids ask me questions about this? Or are kids too embarrassed to ask me questions about this whole topic?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the book I wrote, 10 Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex, I go into that. I have a revised and updated edition, which is now available on my website, which is Matthew, the word Matthew, or name Matthew, 18. And you can do that either 1-8 or the Roman numeral, XBIII.org. And at my website, I have that book available where I go into it. The first 100 pages is about the history and how did we get to where we are today. And then the second half of the book is biblical principles. How do we communicate God's life process in a modest way, but we are giving enough information for them to have, but we're still protecting their moral innocence? It's a delicate balance. And it's important that we can raise peer kids in today's culture. I will tell you, I have 4 adult children. One is married and has children, and they have all vowed to remain peers. So it can be done. It can be done in today's culture. But we've got to really instill in our children first their relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's going to dictate their actions, their thoughts, and the direction that they go. So this whole sexual revolution was about instilling in our children a sexual identity. And in the beginning, it was a sexual identity, which meant, well, gosh, if I have a sexual identity, why do I have to wait till marriage? To now we have a sexual identity being you could be multiple genders or, you know, whatever you want to be. So it's out of control. And I truly believe that the church is the one that has got to, instead of the culture influencing the church as it has done with the sexual revolution, it's time for the church to get back to biblical principles and influence the culture.
Audrey Werner is my guest, and she talks to parent and teen groups, governmental leaders, and recently the Texas legislator and the Ugandan parliament about these sex educational materials being produced. So we're going to come back, do a second segment, because wait till you hear her group, Matthew 18, filed a brief with the Supreme Court. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Audrey, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, won't you?
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com. Or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
This is Encounter. Thanks for coming along with us. I have an international speaker and advocate and founder and president of the Matthew 18 Group, Dean of Life Issues at Masters International University of Divinity. Audrey Werner is my guest. We've been talking about sex education in school. She's a nurse who taught sex education, and she found out what was really being taught to our students in elementary grades. She wrote the book Tips on How Not to Talk to Your Kids About Sex. And right now, before the Supreme Court, there's a brief that her group, Matthew 18, was a part of, to try to have the legislator really look at, the Supreme Court look at, this growing issue of pornography in our nation. Audrey, thanks for coming back with us.
Thank you for having me. This is an important topic that everybody needs to know about.
So now you got the Supreme Court involved. Tell us what's happening there on that level.
Well, I will tell you, for years I have been trying to wake up the church and meeting many closed doors. So I finally changed my prayer to, Lord, just get me to the remnant, because I don't have time to deal with the church if they're not willing to hear. So it was interesting because the Lord opened a door for me to start to speak to legislators. So I've testified for bills in Indiana. I've spoken to Senate committees in Oklahoma, as well as testified for bills in Texas. And I also had an opportunity to go over to Uganda and speak to Parliament there. And that talk of sharing the origins of bringing sex education to kids, what it has done to America, because you can see from 1967 on, as soon as sex ed had been brought into the schools, 64, 65, 66, you could see a dramatic increase in teen STD and pregnancy rates. The American family, single-parent homes exploded after we put sex education in the schools and started to sexualize or groom children for sex. So they made the decision not to put sex ed in their schools, and they've stuck by that to this day. My friend called me, who had me speak to Texas legislators before. She's down in the Austin area, and she always gives me some wonderful open doors to go through. And she said, Audrey, there's a case coming up before the Supreme Court. 19 states have passed laws requiring age verification for porn sites. We require age verification for gambling, for purchase of alcohol or tobacco. But when it comes to the porn industry and porn sites, it has gotten out of control. So now our children are being exposed to pornography at very young ages. If they have a phone, they have access to porn. Filters aren't enough. So in order for there to be more protections, 19 states have passed a law for age verification. Interestingly enough, the porn industry decided to take that on. They want those laws removed because they do want to get to the children. And it was interesting at the Supreme Court last week. That's exactly what one of the lawyers said when somebody in a rally we had outside the Supreme Court, and I actually got to speak there, one of the speakers said, notice we don't have anyone out here advocating for porn for children. Who's for porn for children? And as the lawyers for Pornhub and Netflix and all these other organizations that are exposing or allowing children to see porn, the lawyers turned around and said, we are. So it's clear which side they're on. So this went before the U.S. Supreme Court. The oral arguments were heard last week, and my organization, the Matthew 18 Group, actually submitted a brief, and we gave the history of sexualizing children, and then we talked about the effects on the brain, not only for adults, but for children when they are exposed to pornography.
And what are the effects on the brain?
If you see graphic sexual or violent images, you are going to, you literally grow new brain cells for that. So,
really?
You know, when they say, oh, what children see will go over their head, that is not true. And for children, when they see something, then they turn around and want to act that out. I'll give you an example. When my son was 3 years old, he saw daddy with a hammer hammering away. Sure enough, he goes and finds, you know, a little toy hammer, and he starts hammering away. Now, think about that with sexual images. And pornography, what was interesting, what was argued before the court, is the technology has so exploded that we haven't had time to put protections up for children. So if you imagine the millions of children who are accessed to porn that deals with bestiality, that deals with gang rape, deals with incest, and Pornhub puts videos up of actual rapes that are going on. So when children see this, guess what's happening in the schools? They're turning around and then doing it to each other. So we have adults that are raping children. We have children who are raping children. And I started to see that in the 1990s. We had a 10-year-old who came in who had been exposed to sexually explicit materials through sex education, turned around and raped a 2- and 4-year-old little girl. Mm. So this is very dangerous stuff, and we have, it has decimated our society. So this is an issue that's now bubbled to the surface, and I will tell you from the oral arguments, we already, if you just Google the name of this case, this is interesting, the porn industry calls themselves Free Speech Coalition. So Free Speech Coalition versus Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas. Free Speech Coalition versus Ken Paxton, Attorney General of Texas. So Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton. If you just Google that, you're going to see a whole slew of articles right now. And many in the porn industry are very worried right now, which is good because the porn industry needs to stay away from our children. And we need to make sure that there are as many protections for children, not just against porn, but sexually explicit materials. It's in the books in the libraries. You see parents now going to those school board meetings and reading those graphic excerpts to sex education in the schools as well. So this is a serious problem. We need lots of prayer. This is a David versus Goliath. Some say this is the first time this is a big pushback against the sexual revolution, because if there's no porn, we have another problem, child sex trafficking. So if there's no pornography, if adults and children are not being groomed to these horrendous acts, then there won't be child sex trafficking. So this is a topic that doesn't get addressed in churches. I never hear a sermon advising to stay away from pornography.
Right.
We need to start doing that. We need to push back against what the culture has been doing.
So how do you help pastors get a different mindset so they will preach on these topics, and parents to not be afraid to talk to their children about biblical matters concerning the sex revolution?
Good question. Good question. As I said, God has opened some amazing doors. And one of those is I teach a course at a little Christian online college called Restoring Biblical Purity in the Church. It's a one-day seminar. If you're taking it for credit, there's, of course, things to do. But I have done this one-day seminar in different churches, believe it or not. And when I teach the course, I have had pastors from all over the world take this course. And the first lecture is on the history of the sexual revolution. Why do we believe the things we believe today? Who influenced our thinking? So we go over and expose that. The second thing is concentrating on sex education, abstinence education, and biblical purity, because those are three different things. And then the third is addressing the issue of birth control and sodomy in America. And then the fourth lecture is how to restore biblical purity in the church. And I will tell you that I have had pastors that are so thrilled to get this because they are on the front battle line of the culture and of the sexual revolution right now. They are having to deal with the devastation and the fallout that their congregation members are experiencing because of the sexual revolution. So when you start to open their eyes as to who's the enemy and how do we get back to biblical purity, it is really encouraging. The final papers that I've had from pastors all over the world has been extremely humbling for me. So if we get them to the truth, what does the truth do? It sets you free.
And how do they find this course?
Well, they can go to my website, again, Matthew18.org.
That's Matthew18.org. And that'll take you to all these things we've been talking about today.
Yeah.
As a former sex educator, you're a nurse, you raised four children, you have gone all over the nation and parts of the world to share some of these things. Now, before the Supreme Court, a brief that your group, Matthew 18, submitted is being considered concerning pornography. What's happening? How long might that take to be recognized and read? And are there other briefs concerning the same issue that have also been submitted?
Yes, there were 38 briefs that were submitted. 11 of them were from the porn industry, from liberal professors, law professors, arguing to strike down the laws of age verification. But the rest, the majority of the briefs were for maintaining the laws that the states have put up for age verification for porn sites. The oral arguments, I would say majority of the justices understood the brevity of the problem and had wonderful questions. Now, normally, this is considered one of the larger cases, and usually with the Supreme Court, when they have larger cases, they hold on to those longer, deliberate over those for a longer period of time. So we may not get a decision till the springtime, maybe May, maybe June. you know, we'll have to wait and see on that.
Talk about the decision that you're hoping the Supreme Court will make.
The decision that we hope they make is to support the states and the laws that have been passed, and to support the state of Texas right now. That's the law that the porn industry have decided to challenge, was the most recent state to have this law, because they don't like this trend. Seems like every state is starting to go in this direction. There are many other states that are going to go in this direction. So they're hoping that this law will be struck down, so that all the other 18 laws will be struck down, and that will deter other states from doing that. But again, already the people on our side were, if the worst case scenario that happened, we're ready to go again at it. You know, you can't just back down and say, okay, fine, there's just be no protections for children. It's going to be okay to sexualize them. So it's come to a point where the best case scenario is they will uphold the Texas state law, and they will also uphold the other 18 states. And that will allow all the rest of the states to come in and protect children as well.
Founder and president of the Matthew 18 Group and dean of life issues at Masters International University of Divinity, Audrey Warner has been our guest. Matthew18.org is the website for more details.
Thank you, Judy, and thank you for having me on the show. And I want to give all glory to God, because this is nothing I could have orchestrated. Anything that you've mentioned I've done, it's all been God. He opens the door, and he will open that door for any of your listeners to go through, and he's going to wow you with what's ahead.
Audrey Warner, go to the website to learn more, Matthew18.org. I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks for joining me today for Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.